Well, good morning again. Welcome to the Spring Sangha Forum, sponsored by the Dharma Council. We do two of these a year. The one in the fall is sponsored by the board. So first of all, I am so today, and I want to just tell you a tiny little bit about the Dharma Council.
The things that we work on have to do with teaching and liturgy. And to introduce a couple of members that are here today, Reju back there is our liaison to workshop groups and cohort groups and study groups. And Conan is our secretary and also our Open Gate liaison. My role, I'm the seminary registrar, which is part of the Dharma Council. And then I don't think we have any other. Oh, hey, Dan, I didn't see you. He snuck in there. Dan is on the Dharma Council and is helping plan our summer Sangha party. Yeah. Woo. Okay, we're going to get right into this. We have lots of little mini presentations today, and we're going to ask you to hold questions until the end. That's why we're suggesting you have a paper and pencil to note down your questions. So with no further ado, I'm going to pass it on to Board Representative Dai Guy.
So I am Dai Guy, and I've recently become chair of the board of directors. There are some other members. We have 9 total. One of them is Kakmyo. For those of you who are here, if you just raise your hand so I could introduce you, I see Sam, our esteemed treasurer, Alice, and Sonia raised her hand. Are you still not a board member anymore? Okay. That's it. So we have a bunch of people who are not here. Kaylin was here earlier. There's Muchak Dunphy and Chotin Robinson, Lindsay Poor. Whom am I missing? Anyone?
Yes.
Who? Okay. Anyway, there's 9. So I think you know what a board does. You know, sort of the material side of temple stuff, logistics and finance and administration. So finance, we're in a good place in the black. We have ample cash reserves, and we're continuing to pay down our debt. Our donations are up for the year. Our membership pledges, however, are down. That's about all to say for finances. I want to mention the Brilliant Sea of Clouds, the capital campaign. And we're in the early stages of constructing a new school building. And, this funded by grants and by membership donations. And, the idea is to increase the space available for Frog Song, the preschool program, Montessori, that provides a lot of revenue to Dharma Rain. And it would also have the dual function of being a Dharma school, increased space for them, and increasing space for residency and Sesshin attendance, more places for people to stay, which is a clear benefit to Sangha. I was going to talk about the strategic plan, but that'll be Kakumyo. It was ratified, I think, by the Sangha in March. Right? Okay, policy updating. We're on a rolling schedule to... yes. Oh, I'm sorry. Is that better? Thank you so much. anyway, policy updates. Yeah, so Dharma Rain has a lot of policies to manage our activities and better, and to also deal with challenges as they arise. So they were, as I say, they're on a rolling schedule, and they're revised according to that. Last year was a pretty big year. We did about a dozen policy revisions. Lindsay was, who's not here, Lindsay Poor was instrumental in that, and Zonio as well, I think, right? Yeah. Yeah, and there's a couple more that are still ongoing, and then there's more in the near future. One of those policies is human resources, and the HR policy was updated significantly to make it more accessible and transparent to people. And we got help from an HR person, and I think I saw Rick here somewhere. Where is he? He was here. He left. Yeah, he helped us a great deal, and it complies now with all state and federal statutes, and I think that's all I want to say.
I'm done. Howdy. So I'm going to talk about the strategic plan a little bit. That was a year-long process that Mostly happened last year, bled into 2026 a wee bit, including the like chance for the whole Sangha to vote on it, which happened. And so, like, big picture, what it said is like, wow, that's a lot of good stuff. Keep going. And it also tried to define what keep going meant in a couple of areas. It was a much more concise plan than previous versions. It was like 15 pages roughly versus like 75 at our last attempt. So a much easier read. There were different areas in it. Dharmically, there was a kind of a push for continuing and increasing opportunities for people to study or to, you know, practice at different times and via Zoom, trying to broaden accessibility. Some more also dharmically, like stretching into this site, the land, using more of it from a dharmic perspective. More administratively, like kind of there was an acknowledgement that the Sangha is a lot more complex than it used to be like 15, 20 years ago. Our like Sunday numbers and membership is still roughly the same, but we have a lot bigger impact. We're, you know, we're touching a lot more people, and it's just a much more complex organization. And so the HR stuff is part of that, policy stuff is part of that, membership adjustments, trying to have more personal welcoming and mentoring in the initial year or so of membership, and also tagging on some revenue goals there. And then the other thing that I mentioned was the classroom building. The strategic plan just kind of emphasized that that is really important on several fronts. And you know, so that's on the list. That's something that we'll complete in the next 5 years. That's what I have for strategic plan.
Hey, so I'm Jen Bass, for those of you who don't know me. And I'm representing the Youth and Family Council, which oversees the programs that serve youth and families in the Sangha, which is Dharma School and Dharma Camp, and then other youth and family events. So we had a lot of updates over the last year. We changed our name from the Dharma Garden to the Youth and Family Council. And we have a new head of youth and family, which is Sosatsu Stauffer. And the members of the council are me, Sosatsu, Bridget Donegan, Sokachu Mater, and Thomas Albanese. Our Dharma school is actually meeting right now, and we have 38 families and 45 kids enrolled this year. Our theme this year was Bodhisattvas, and we explored Manjushri and Kanzian. In a couple weeks, you'll get a chance to meet of our students and teachers when we do skits in the hall. And we also this year moved to a new 6-week term. Previously, we had done every other Sunday, and now we're doing 6 weeks in a row and then taking a break. And we're doing 3 terms, fall, winter, and spring. We've worked with the Dharma Council this year to prioritize inclusiveness. So like the new All Sangha Day, where we had the kids come in and we had a Dharma talk that was appropriate or inclusive to kids is an example of that, and just making sure to integrate youth into festivals like Sajiki. So the other part, which you might not know about, is that we received a grant back in 2024 for $100,000 to revitalize our youth programming and to create resources to share with other sanghas. And our work team for that is me and Bridget and Sosatsu and Kakumyo. And we are putting together a lot of really cool resources, including a family practice booklet and some video shorts and potentially a podcast. We also updated our songbook and made professional recordings, which we'll be putting on YouTube and making them available soon. They're already on the website, some of them, but I'm going to put all of them on YouTube soon. And we also did a national online conference. It was small-ish, but still we had 35 people from different Buddhist Zen centers around the country who all kind of talked about youth programming and Zen Buddhism and what that's like and what we want it to be like. Dharma Camp is still going strong and a lot of fun, but has not returned to its pre-pandemic numbers. So if you know anybody who you think would be interested or any place we should reach out to talk about our amazing Dharma Camp that happens July 19th to 25th this year, please let me know. So hopefully you're going to be seeing more children and families in events. And if you have kids, we would love for you to join us. And if you're not sure how, please come and talk to me about it. There's a lot of different ways to be involved in youth and family programming. And if you don't have kids, but you like being around kids or you're interested in sharing Dharma or other creative ideas with kids, also, please come and let me know and we'll talk about it.
Okay, I'm Genko. I am on the Open Gate DEI Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Committee. Oh yeah, here, let me, I've got my notes. So our charter, the DEI charter, Open Gate DEI charter says, Dharma Rain has the potential to be a place where Sangha members can transform their individual and collective conditioned relationship to racism and other forms of identity-based oppression. This work is a part of the work of liberation from suffering, which is not simply for ourselves individually, but for the benefit of all beings. It is about dismantling systematic oppression on a collective level. So Open Gate meets monthly to discuss various issues that come up. We are not a decision-making body, but an advisory body providing information and advice to various governing bodies on diversity, equity, and inclusion matters. So in the past, we have provided an equity lens to inform decision-making to various of the committees and groups. Some of the things that have happened this last year that we've been involved with was we created a new library shelf in collaboration with the library on trauma and neurodiversity, because we found that these are areas that, you know, some people have trouble practicing and they have different needs for practicing. And so we wanted to address that in some ways. And some of those books are pretty good. And they're not all specifically Buddhism, but some of them are specifically. There's one called Autism and Buddhist Practice, which I've read, and I think it's just awesome for anybody to read and helpful. We also discussed a proposal for wheelchair accessibility for Sanzen, and we worked with the officers committee and the Jishario to create a plan and a protocol. At some point, we went over the list of items that are on hold from the past, because in the past, you know, we've brainstormed, oh, here's a bunch of stuff that would be great to work on. And some of those, many of those have been put on hold because you just can't do it all at once. But one resulting action of that was to check in with the people who had been involved with Awakening to Whiteness and also with the folks who are involved with the new Emerging Engaged Buddhism cohort to see about follow-up for the Awakening to Whiteness and any support needed for Engaged Buddhism and perhaps some overlap between the two or some continuation perhaps. The other thing we did was we held an Open Gate Inclusion Forum on Sunday, February the 8th, following community lunch, and about 20 people showed up to attend that hour-long meeting. We did a council or circle process, limiting time to 1.5 minutes per person, which was pretty quick, and then a brief small group discussion and reports out to the whole group from that. So some of the points that came from that that people made was that Dharma Rain's doing mostly okay, that we do need each other. We want to cultivate a sense of interdependence. Couple of things that specific things that people suggested were we could include more gender representation, like female and non-binary examples, pointing out that some aspects of inclusion can bump up against others. For example, air quality when we open windows and doors versus warmth for those who are cold. Some questions about how tightly or loosely to hold forums and how to give skillful feedback, given that this is a lay temple. And people appreciated the council process, that format that allowed for simply saying our piece without immediate feedback and discussion. And everyone agreed that this is a conversation that needs to be ongoing, because inclusion shifts a bit over time in terms of our awareness and what we're working with. It's complex and it's contextual. So there's more to discuss. And most people agreed that we needed more time than an hour for this forum. So we have another one scheduled for Sunday, July 12th from noon to 2. And since there's no community lunch that day, we'll provide a light buffet, which will probably include bagels and cream cheese, because everybody loves those, and a few other things. We're also happily receiving suggestions for topics or nuances or questions to explore in the next forum, or in general in the committee for us to discuss. So one example is that has been brought up is accessibility for people who can't do retreats for full time. What should that look like? And another is a sort of a larger question about what's the difference between inclusion and assimilation, and what are the fears around all of that? So we invite Sangha members to come and explore what inclusion means to you and your feelings about the work the committee is doing to enhance that. And if you're interested in joining the committee and its work, you can send an email to opengatedei@dharma-rain.org or talk to anybody who's on the committee, which I didn't start out saying who that was. But I'm on the committee. Who else here? Jack Rocha, excuse me, is on the committee. Benny is on the committee, and there's a few more people, and we're probably going to have a couple of new ones today as well. So that's what I got.
All right, I'm going to give just a little bit of intro to the next person who's going to talk. So the Dharma Council. Before this Sangha forum, we wanted to sort of gauge interest in topics. And so we did produce a little survey, and it was in the bulletin, the e-bulletin, a couple times, and we got some responses from that. One of the things that we asked on the survey, one of the questions that we offered as something we might discuss at this forum, is how the temple and Sangha are holding the current state of suffering in the world. And so we have as was mentioned already, the Engaged Buddhist cohort has just started up, and Hogetsu's going to talk about that for just a moment.
Sure.
Hi, my name is Hogetsu. In Mahayana Buddhism, we are taught to hear the cries of the world and to respond with great compassion. And lately, for many of us, it seems that those cries are getting louder and more immediate. As a result of that, we have formed a cohort for socially engaged Buddhism. Not that Dharma Rain doesn't already engage in many forms of socially engaged Buddhism, but that's the title that we came up with on how to respond to what's going on, both inside and outside the Sangha. Our first meeting was last month. We had about 10 people there, plus a few other people who couldn't be there but expressed interest. We're meeting again on Thursday, April 23rd. It's a week from Thursday in the library at 6:30. We won't go past 8. And we will be continuing the discussion that we began last month on what we would like to see this cohort do. How can we support each other and open up channels of communication, and as Genko mentioned, also work collaboratively with other activities already going on within the Sangha. Hopefully, there should be a notice in the newsletter coming out this week and the following week. My email will be on there. You won't necessarily remember this, but it's rick@rickmitchell.us. Hogetsu is my Dharma name. Thank you.
And we have the Sangha Council.
Hello, everyone. My name is Thomas. I'm with the Sangha Council. I'm the chair. We have Shinyu as well as a member. Don't see you, Satsu, today. But We help to connect people, volunteer, and temple roles here in the Sangha. And there's so many different things that are available to participate in here. There's, as was mentioned, kitchen practice that is available. That can be baking cookies for Sundays and Wednesdays. It can be helping out for big events that are coming up, such as the training. There's going to be the Portland Buddhist Festival, which will require volunteers. There's always weeding and landscaping. There's 14 acres of property here, and it's more than just 8 or 9 people can tend to. There are critters. I'm sure you've seen maybe chickens and bunnies. They are always welcome to have friends. There's opportunity for making tea and coffee for Sundays. There's garden practice every Wednesday, except during sesshins. There's the Sangha Support Network. If you're interested in helping people like who can't come or can't drive themselves to things or just have various needs, there's always the need for volunteers. There are ceremonial roles. If you see the people who are going up to the altars and tending them, making the flower arrangements, if you're wondering about like, oh, playing instruments sounds very interesting, or just any of the things that make this all come together as a very sacred space, there's so many ways to plug in. If you have any interest, please come speak to me or Shinyu, or contact us at the Sangha Council email, and we'll try and get in touch. Thank you very much.
Okay, that is the end of our presentations for today, and we have time for questions. So, what questions do folks have?
I will bring around the microphone. If you have a question, you can raise your hand and make sure to speak into the microphone. And if you are on Zoom, you can type in your question and it'll be read aloud by the co-host, or you can raise your hand and ask to be unmuted and you can ask your question that way.
Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity. I have a question. Kakamyo, you mentioned something I hadn't thought about, which is the growing complexity of the Sangha. And I had this vision of like little tentacles going out in all different, many different healthy, wholesome directions. And I was wondering, has there been any discussion among the leaders about ways that we might tie together in a coherent way any of, or in, under, yeah, tie those complexities together in a holistic way at all? So we don't get too far flung out. Has that been part of the discussion at all?
Yeah, I think what you're asking about is coherence.
Oh. Yes, I was trying to avoid that word, but yes.
Okay.
Because I've used it before.
Sorry.
People go.
yeah, I think, you know, like the unifying thing is practice and yeah. Transformation. And hopefully that like a key part of what we're offering in all the different domains that we're finding our way into. I think sometimes that is overt and sometimes that is subtle. But I feel like both are useful. So I think it's so, yes, I think it is part of the conversation. It's definitely part of the, you know, some of the strategic plan, you know, meetings that were had. And you know, there's different perspectives there. So, it's easy to feel it's too much. Like there's 4 different things happening after this today, right? Like, and like, you know, like there's 50 people here, and there's a bunch of them who are looking for something else also. So, like, you know, if there's capacity, then great. I don't want Dharma Rain to get top heavy. I don't want to like try to like over control it. I feel like, you know, some sprouts are going to flourish and others are going to wither, and we'll experiment. And the conditions for growing are going to keep changing. So we just want to stay responsive there rather than kind of planning it out and trying to control it.
For me, the thread that holds it all together is Ango vows. Because we all do that in some way, I think.
What? Where did it go? Yikes, where did it go?
Michelle has a question. Could you share where the meeting on April 30th will be held?
The what on April 30th?
She says, could you share where the meeting on April 30th will be held?
Is that referring to that?
It's April 23rd.
Can you clarify what meeting on April 30th you're thinking of?
Michelle? Okay, wait.
We'll come back to that.
Okay, we'll come back to that. Yeah, go ahead.
Hi, my name is Julia. I am curious if there are Zen teachers who speak languages besides English that we might be interested in like hearing from. I think we can kind of get pigeonholed like culturally and linguistically inside of staying English dominant. So I'm wondering if that's something we're exploring.
Not actively right now. We've had teachers from different traditions certainly come through. Those are more like one-off, like guest teachers, you know, as the opportunity presents. There's not a like ongoing like effort to like lean into that right now. And like that's because we haven't heard that requested. What's that? Buddhist festival will be happening. You want to say a little about that?
The first Saturday in August this year will be the Portland Buddhist Festival, which we've hosted. This will be our second year, and we've revived it after the pandemic. And one of the major goals is to reach out to a broader Mahasangha in Portland, including many different traditions that are represented in Portland. And Gakumiwa has really encouraged me to make that a real goal, to reach out to these many different communities. Sokuchu is helping. We're going door to door with flyers that have been translated into four different languages. So really, really putting a lot into that effort so that we can really be inclusive and come together and see what that shared dharma looks like. So please check it out. We'll get flyers out pretty soon.
I'm just kind of curious in general, if there are teachers that speak languages beside English in our tradition.
Yes.
Okay. Cool.
Lots.
Great.
Loads.
Michelle can clarify. The meeting shared from the audience about dealing with the current state of suffering. A gentleman from the audience shared it. I think I heard him clarify the 23rd, but couldn't hear the location.
So that is the Engaged Buddhism cohort that will happen in the library on April 23rd, 6:30, and finished no later than 8 p.m.
Pamphlets in the past. This is Nancy in Spanish. So I don't know if you've perused that area, but that they've been there for some time. Oh, okay, cool.
Hi, this is Dan. Just wondering, when do you envision starting construction on the school buildings and the residential buildings?
So it's all one structure, and there'll be two classrooms down below, and then a residential space up above, and it's dependent on funding. So we've raised some. We need more. Our plan is to, you know, get grants to cover a significant chunk of it. And we're in process of writing grants right now. So we're not sure. We've done the subgrade improvements. So basically we're in a situation where we have plans. We've made it through land use already. The site is ready so that we could build at any point. It's not weather dependent, but we need to get a significant grant. So I think we have a fairly good field position. This is our third time going after this big one, and we're learning something each time and refining the proposal. So we'll get there, but I don't have a date for you. 3 years ago was my wish.
Hi, this is Roka, and this question is for Sokachu and Thomas. In the past, Sokachu and I touched on the idea for Sangha Support Network carrying on and maybe doing a little more detail with that. Just wondered if there's any more. Okay.
I don't remember where this idea came from and why on earth it's on my to-do list, but so the Sangha Support Network has a realm that it works in, mostly helping with people transportation or meals or things like that when they're in a temporary tough spot. And somewhere along the line, the idea was to I think it was because you cleaned my gutters. Maybe that's why. So when I broke my ankle, lots of people came around, and Roka came, and before he came over, he says, "You live in a house?" And I said, "Yeah." He says, "Do you have gutters?" And I said, "Yes." He says, "Well, I have a ladder." And he cleaned my gutters, and then he said, "Wouldn't it be nice if we could offer that kind of support to Sangha members who aren't necessarily in trouble or like they haven't broken their ankle or something? Just so could we survey, are there gifts and talents that people would like to offer and expand it?" And I think then I'm on the Youth and Family Council, and the idea also came, what about helping families with, I think the focus was additional new children at home. And anyway, there's so many circumstances where we need extra help. So the idea was to expand the Sangha Support Network. So before going to Thomas, Amy, who was over here, Amy and Roka and I were going to meet just to brainstorm, not to make any decisions, and then bring that idea to Thomas. And so I wrote an email, and it's sitting in my drafts, and it's ready to go to you and Amy this afternoon.
From Amy, she says, "I'm in charge of Sangha Support Network. So if people have questions, she's happy to respond."
Hello, this is Thomas again. Just to kind of build on that, like I mentioned different ways that one can like volunteer their time and gave some areas in which that's possible. I just want to say, like, if you have interests or skills that you want to offer, like, please, like, come to that. There's many different ways in which to slot in. It doesn't have to be any of the things that I mentioned. Those are areas of, like, obvious need, but, like, we're looking to make it a way in for you to find your practice. And I also wanted to mention, when I forgot to mention that feels important, is that you also have a prison outreach program. So if you are interested in, like, helping people who just really need someone to come in and provide a sense of, like, calm and stability, please be aware of that. Thank you.
Amy also says, "And we could always add people to the email list so that when requests come in, you will receive an email describing the need."
This is Dan. I coordinate the guest masters. So on the topic of volunteering, if you're interested in being a guest master, please let me know. We're looking for both folks for both Sunday and Wednesday. It's a really critical role, particularly for people who come to the service for the first time, to kind of get oriented so they know where to turn and what direction to face and all that good stuff. So let me know if you want to be a guest master. Thanks.
This is Sokyo. You know, if anybody wants to learn calligraphy, I have all the brushes and paper. I love to teach. Thank you.
Questions?
All right. Well, sorry.
Hi, this is Julie again. This was just like a really, like a small thing, but there was mention of expanding, welcoming, and mentoring. And I'm wondering if you can just say more on what that might look like.
Yeah. So right now, Zonio is the new member person. I forget what we call it exactly, but we call it Zonio. And basically, like, one of her jobs is to connect, like, personally with someone when they become a member, and help them navigate, like, next steps and you know, questions they may have, or offering some, you know, orientation or inspiration or whatever. And kind of the goal there is that, like that's one of the like time zones in practice where, like, it's easy to, like, not land, right? And so for there to be a miss. And so to kind of help people through that.
Is this new?
Yeah. There, we've had other versions of it over time, but we haven't really had it for the last 5 or 6 years.
Thank you.
There's just one other thing I wanted to mention. If members have concerns that seem relevant to what the board of directors does, you can submit those to us either directly or by email to the board or to staff at dharma-rain.org. And we, every meeting, which we meet monthly, we go over member concerns, if there are any.
And that is also true for the Dharma Council. If you have questions or concerns for the Dharma Council, you can submit those. And we also meet monthly, almost monthly, and discuss any Sangha concerns that are, I should say, that are in our purview. Yeah. Any last questions? All right. Well, thank you for your attention. And that concludes our program today. This program.